Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hello, and welcome back to season two of Visiting Dugout, a Fans First Sports Network production. If you are new here, I'm Crystal O'Keefe. I'm a podcaster, a managing editor, and a writer for Southside Sox. And on this show, we preview each White Sox matchup with guests joining to talk about their teams and the 2024 season in general. So today, I have Walker Kelly to talk about the Detroit Tigers. Welcome. Please feel free to introduce yourself.
So I'm Walker. Thank you for having me on. I've been a Michigan resident and Tigers fan my whole life. It hasn't been the brightest of times the last decade or so, but we do have a proud history, and I think we're getting back to that. So there will be some positivity in this preview. Some positivity.
I will admit we do a series predictions post in Southside Sox, and a lot of people have the Tigers actually winning the division this year, so there's some confidence.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm going to go that far yet.
That's fair. I put the Guardians, unfortunately. Okay, so what is new in Tigerland? It's been a while.
Yeah. The first thing they did in the offseason was grab Mark Canna from the Brewers. That was, I think, a good move. We only gave up Blake Holub, who was a pretty middling prospect. I know Canna's 35 years old, so he's not going to be a long-term asset to the team. But his on-base percentage was still above .370 last season. The last 4 years, I believe, he's been top 15 in the majors over that span in OBP. So fits Scott Harris's model of he loves his guys who have high on base percentage, good eyes, controlled strike zone. He's always talking about that. So definitely fits with the team. They are down to 13 batters as well, the Tigers. So he's certainly going to be on the roster. Otherwise, the big free agent signing was probably Kenta Maeda, getting him away from Minnesota. So obviously in division opponent, Maeda has had an uneven spring training, but he's looked a lot better his last couple starts. So he will pitch in this series in game two. One of our other free agent acquisitions, Jack Flaherty, is going to pitch game three. He's coming off a pretty rough season. But in spring training, his fastball velocity was still good. I'm hoping that Chris Fetter, who's proven to be able to resurrect other careers, I'm hoping he, as our pitching coach, can can work some magic with Flaherty as well. Signed a couple relievers, Andrew Chafin, Shelby Miller. Miller had a really good season with the Dodgers last year. Chafin, a former Tiger as well. And then picked up Gio Urshela really late, like late February. And he's probably going to start the season as the starting third baseman.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. I love that you guys have Mark Hanna, because now I'm a little bit closer to him, because I am also, I also unfortunately root for the Mets. So that was a little heartbreaking when he went to Milwaukee, but I'm happy because I'll be at opening day, so I can see him again. We can be reunited. So how would you grade Detroit's offseason? And also, is Jason Benetti actually the top acquisition that you guys got?
That's a fair point. Yeah, as a White Sox fan, I know, I'm sure you miss him. We've only gotten to hear him in spring training games so far. But, I mean, if you've heard him on baseball broadcast, basketball broadcast, Jason's a pro. You know, he's really a great broadcaster, already has a good rapport with Craig Monroe. He's just a pro's pro. He knows how to keep the conversation moving. He understands the game. I was really happy when we got him, because Matt Shepard just was not it. I respect Shep, but just not a very good play-by-play announcer. Yeah. So Benetti's a big improvement there. In terms of the overall offseason, I would say like a B. I think they did improve the roster. Certainly in the pitching depth, grabbing two solid starting pitchers and a couple higher end relievers was good to fill out the depth of the staff. I would have liked to see them get a little bit more of a, you know, permanent option at either second or third base. I know Keith is going to take one of those spots, probably second base. I would have liked to see somebody at third base who's a little bit more of a long-term answer than Urshela or, Andy Ibanez. Not necessarily saying they should have gone after like a Matt Chapman, but I would have liked to see somebody over there who was a little bit higher end, because we, not in the field, but we have a black hole at the plate at shortstop. So it would have been nice to, you know, find a little bit of power in a bat, at least. You know, Urshela can hit for average, but he's going to hit like four home runs all season. I think that's probably the biggest glaring issue that I had with the offseason. But other than that, I mean, I think they did fine. You know, the timeline isn't necessarily to compete this year. With the weak division, a lot of people think we can, but yeah. I think overall it was a good, not great offseason.
That's fair. Do you have anything kind of good in your farm system for someone that can come up this year and take in some of those spots, at least learn from some veterans that are going to be there?
Jace Young, who is Josh Young for the Rangers, his younger brother. He is a second and third baseman. He is hitting the cover off the ball in the minors right now, but he hasn't hit above double A. So he was never going to be up with the team this year, at the start of the year, at least. But there have been rumblings that mid-season, if he keeps hitting like he's been hitting in the minors in triple A, that he could be a mid-season or late season call up this year. I know Harris has talked about how he doesn't, that we've got guys in the organization at every position, and he doesn't necessarily want to block those guys. And that's why they've been kind of going with more short-term free agent signings. So I think you'll see him at some point this year, maybe not before September, but he's an exciting prospect. Other than that, on the infield, we don't really have anybody. I mean, Adis Leonard is maybe the next best prospect, and he's a good bat, but not really great in the field, and not one of our top prospects. The other main prospect that really has got people excited is Jackson Job. The starter, he came out in the ninth inning in his first ever spring training, outing, and he struck out two of the three batters he faced, was throwing 101, 102 miles an hour. Absolute wipeout slider, and he finished the game with two straight changeups too. So I mean, he's he looked really impressive. Again, he's never pitched above double A, so they're going to want him to get triple A innings, but he looks the part. I'll tell you that.
That's good. I hope he doesn't turn into a Michael Kopech like here on the White Sox, where looked phenomenal. So excited. He was my ride or die. Like one of those, I would just go to war for that man. And now I'm just like, oh gosh, if he could just not be on the team now, that'd be cool. Cause now
is he gonna be your closer?
Yeah, he's gonna be somewhere in there. And I mean, it stinks because he was throwing over 100 in spring training, mm-hmm. but he's very inconsistent with just everything. And there hasn't been anyone to really help him in the organization. And at the same time, I don't think he is eager to learn either. So he's just kind of become this kind of mass that we're all like, oh, great.
Sounds like Alex Lang for us.
Yes. So, I mean, you said you don't see any like actual contention this year, but do you feel confident like outside of that? Like if you don't feel like there's going to be any postseason action, do you still feel confident about this season overall?
Yeah, I think that the team will, you know, barring major injury, you know, like a season long injury to Green or Torkelson, something mm-hmm. like that. I think the team will win more games than they did last year. I believe 77 and 85 last season. So I think about a 5-win improvement is pretty reasonable. I would say somewhere around 500 is, I would assume, the goal, and to be playing meaningful games in September, not necessarily to be in the playoffs or win a playoff series, anything like that, but to be legitimately competitive till the end of the season.
That's all you can ask for in this division, really. Mm-hmm. It is a horrible division, but it is what it is. All right, we are going to just take a very quick break to pay some bills. And welcome back. All right, so let's get into this first series of 2024. The White Sox are hosting the Tigers at Guaranteed Rate Field on Thursday. If you are listening to this, it's probably happening right now. So first, let's chat about the pitching matchups. The White Sox pitching is abysmal at best right now. But opening day, it's Garrett Crochet, who came as a starter. He has not started a Major League Baseball game in his career against Tariq Skubal, who's great, in my opinion. And then Michael Soroka and Kenta Maeda. And then finally, Eric Fetty and Jack Flaherty. So it seems like you guys might have the upper hand in this series pitching-wise, but what can you tell me about this rotation?
I mean, Skubal is the guy who's been here the longest. He's the ace of the staff. He's the top dog. After he came back from injury last year, he was incredibly impressive. Mm-hmm. Throws 98, 99 miles an hour, works at the top of the strike zone, very tough to get to his fastball. He's got kind of a cutter slider type pitch that he likes to bust inside on the righty's hands. Change up that he'll throw to both righties and lefties. He's very close to a complete pitcher. I mean, his strikeout rate's really high and his walk rate is really low. And that you can't really ask for a whole lot more out of a guy who you want to be the leader of your staff. He's got the potential, if he pitches to his capability, to be a top 10 starting pitcher in the league this year. The other two guys, the free agent acquisitions, not going to have that ceiling. Maeda is not a hard thrower. He'll top out at about 92. Really good split finger. A lot of the Japanese pitchers will feature a split finger. He has essentially mastered it. He'll throw it just about anywhere in the strike zone. He'll use it as an out pitch. Really likes to mix up his spots, mix up his speeds. That's how he'll get you out. Is he is creative, he's unpredictable, and he has a large arsenal, but he's never going to blow you away, and he's not going to be a 12 strikeout per nine inning guy, certainly not. Flaherty could be if he pitches to his capability from earlier in his career with the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. Last season was not a good performance from him. After he got traded, it improved a little, but not much. He's, you know, certainly I think you can say coming off the worst season of his career, but the velocity is still there. The movement on his pitches is still there. He's just got to find more consistency. He can't let his control get out of whack. He's, you know, that's going to be the biggest issue. It's not that he doesn't have stuff. It's that I think he's lacking confidence from last season. And if we can give him that confidence back, I think he'll be just fine in the middle of rotation.
Yeah, I didn't realize how high his ERA was. He was almost at a 5. He was at 4.99 ERA. Mm-hmm. Although at spring training, it's good. It's 2.95. So,
yeah, he's looked definitely better in spring training than he did last season. But again, I don't know how much you can take that into account based on the lineups he's been facing.
Yeah, spring training, you never know what's actually going to translate to the field. So it's always I always looked forward to Dylan Cease because he'd always look great in spring training, and then he would come out and just be flat, except for, you know, last two seasons when he was phenomenal. But yeah, it's always frustrating to see what happens. But yeah, I've always liked Jack Flaherty. I think he's got that skill. He just is a little rough. And Kinta reminds me a lot of Johnny Cueto with kind of the changing the speeds, really mixing it up, and you just don't know what you're going to get, which is always a quality I've enjoyed with pitchers.
Yeah, Kenta will probably have the occasional blow-up outing where his stuff's just not really moving, and he'll go two innings and give up 8 runs. But most of the time, he'll go out and throw 100 pitches and give you 6 or 7 innings of 1 or 2 run ball. And, you know, he's pretty much a direct Eduardo Rodriguez replacement, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that too. So with this team, is there a player who could really be a big threat to this White Sox team, especially in this first series?
Well, I know I don't know a lot about Crochet, being that he hasn't started at all yet. Soroka, I know, is vulnerable to the long ball. I think if you're looking for somebody who could get off to a hot start, I would say the guy who's looked like he's locked in at the plate, you know, regardless of stats, is Kerry Carpenter. Him or Green are the best pure hitters on the team. Mm-hmm. And I think Carpenter could easily get off to a hot start. I mean, last season, I believe in one of the first series, he was wearing a face mask and hit a walk-off home run. He's been known to get off to fast starts. He's been hitting well in spring training. He never seems like he's panicking up there. Just has a good approach, hits the ball hard, can hit home runs, but he's not focused on hitting home runs. He's just a hitter. And I think that's going to translate. Him and Green would be the two guys I would be most confident in going into this series. Torkelson has been struggling in the spring, so he might take a little bit longer to get warmed up.
Yeah, that's fair. So with those two being threats, would you also consider those kind of the key to take this series, or do you have other things that the Tigers could really do to a very vulnerable White Sox team to win this series?
Yeah, I mean, the White Sox have some guys who can hurt you with the bats still. But the pitching, as you said, is pretty low end. I mean, probably one of the worst staffs in baseball. So I think definitely scoring runs is going to be the biggest thing. The Tigers had a bad offense last year. They're looking to get at least into the top 20 in terms of runs scored per game. And I think, yeah, big thing here would, if they could average 5 runs a game in this series, I think you're looking at a series win for the Tigers. So I think you need to, you know, make sure that they're getting runs early, that they're not allowing the White Sox pitchers to get into a rhythm against them and to start gaining confidence, you know, jump on them early when they're vulnerable.
Yeah. And Garrett Crochet, he's great. He throws the ball very hard. He's always been phenomenal in the bullpen. He's off of an injury, and there's already talks of maybe Tommy John soon, who knows, which is just wonderful when we have no pitching. But yeah, Garrett is great. He's the only one I really have confidence in this season, unfortunately, at least this series. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah, I don't know a whole lot about Fetty. I know he's been around a little while, but mm-hmm. he's kind of bounced around teams. Soroka, obviously, I have some familiarity from his time with the Braves. Not a real hard thrower, good control. But yeah, if he's not painting the corners, he's going to get rocked.
Yeah.
And it just depends on how pinpoint he is on the day.
So with that kind of opposite, what kind of fears do you have heading into this series?
Oh, I could see us giving up like 5 or 6 home runs for sure. I think probably my biggest fear is Andrew Vaughn's healthy, right?
Yeah, he is.
Okay. I'm concerned there. He can really rip the ball for power into the gaps and over the fence, left field, left center. Big guy, quick bat. That's a good player. And he has torn up the Tigers before. Now, what I will say is I'm sure glad to see Tim Anderson out of the division because, I mean, I liked him, but not when he's playing us.
Yeah.
He just destroyed the Tigers constantly.
Jose Abreu was usually – well, and Dylan Cease, we called him the Tiger Tamer because he was really phenomenal against the Tigers when he was pitching.
We've gotten quite lucky over the last couple of years that the White Sox did bottom out a little bit and kind of sold off parts. Because the parts they sold off were the ones that absolutely tore us apart. I think Vaughn is definitely in the lineup, the biggest threat. And then you've guys got flamethrowers in the bullpen. So I think while it's not the most experienced bullpen in the world, I think in those small sample sizes, variance favors the underdog. And I think if the White Sox bullpen comes out firing, you know, I think the Tigers could strike out a lot in this series. Just got to hope that if that happens, that their patience at the plate will allow them to pick up enough base runners to chip off runs here or there. But yeah, my biggest fear would be like averaging 14 strikeouts, 15 strikeouts a game in this series, right, and ending up like losing 2 of the games, like 3-2.
Which will probably... either team, it'll probably be a low scoring series no matter what. Like you said, you mentioned Andrew Vaughn, who is healthy and who is great, and also Luis Robert, mm-hmm. who can really put the ball in motion. But yeah, that's Juan and Eloy are a little on the fence still. Eloy mm-hmm. never stays healthy.
No, I love you. So. I love Eloy. Shout out Eloy's bit from a couple years ago where he kept unbuttoning his jersey farther. All season. That was incredible. That's one of my favorite things an MLB player's ever done.
There's a picture that we took during the season. It was the season where he was doing all of that. And two of my guy friends, Matt and Dick, they were doing this chest out for Eloy bit. And they just, every inning, I feel like it just came down even more. And I was like, okay, let's keep our clothes on. So you're a little too pasty to be doing this. But
you would never catch me doing that. I can tell you that. You never catch me doing that. I'm way too Irish.
No, he's a blast though. Like he's his namesake of Big Baby, and he's very charming and very fun, but he stresses me out every single time he's in the outfield.
Yeah, he what would I call him? Unreliable defender. Yeah. Sounds right to me. Yeah, it's not that he can't play left field. It's that he's just not consistent.
No. And it's usually Robert going back and forth.
Yeah.
We've got Andrew Benintendi now, who is a little bit more consistent, at least in right. Mm-hmm. But before that, it was just Luis Robert playing all three positions for the longest time. Because
yeah, I remember when you had Eloy, Luis, and Avi Garcia in the outfield at the same time?
I think we did at one point, yeah.
Yeah, and that's just defensively, that's so bad in the corners. And, you feel bad for Robert having to do all that running.
That's always kind of been our joke, because, like, we'll mention anyone. And, oh, can they play right? Or can they play second? Because those are our constant holes. Again, now we've got Benintendi, who is more consistent. But even then, you know, when he's gone, who's going to play right? And, you know, just the most random people, like one of our prediction things was like, will Taylor Swift make a game? And somebody just responded with, can she play right field?
He's a good bat, but it's not going to be fun when in game 50, you're throwing Gavin Sheets out into right field and hoping for the best.
Yeah, that's Gavin. God, I loved his dad. Mixed feelings about him.
He can hit. He can hit homers. That's about it.
Yeah, that's really it. And that's even inconsistent. Those aren't even all the time. You could tell he's a golfer and did not want to play baseball. Very obvious watching him play. So moving away from our respective teams, what are your thoughts kind of on the 2024 season at large, like your predictions or just anything that you would like to really talk about for this season?
Yeah, I never want to go with the boring pick of picking the Death Star to win the World Series. So I think I'm probably going to go with Atlanta to take the National League.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's not like I'm going out on a limb here to take Atlanta. They're clearly the second best team in the National League, but they have a lot of experience. Their pitching is another year more experienced. I do think that, and you know Reynaldo Lopez well, but I'm not sure that's going to work. I think they might end up having to go back to Bryce Elder as the fifth starter. Reynaldo looked a lot better out of the bullpen.
He did.
He kept his velocity up a lot more. I'm not sure that's going to work out. But by the end of the season, they always seem to have pretty much everything in place. And I know that Snit is a good manager. I know that they're going to get clutch performances from guys like Acuna, Albies, who have been there before. I trust them to be cohesive and to tap into that experience to get back. The American League is very wide open.
Yeah.
There are probably half a dozen teams that you could say have a realistic chance to make the World Series. And none of them are in the AL Central.
No. Nope.
It's, I mean, Texas is really good again. Mm-hmm. Houston is, of course, still good. They're not what they used to be, but they're still talented.
Yeah.
I'm not taking Seattle all that seriously because their offseason was a complete nothing burger.
Mm-hmm.
But then the AL East is stacked. There's four good teams in that division and Boston. But I think I'm going to go youth movement in the AL, and I'm going to take the Orioles. I really like their young players. I think that they're going to get some contributions out of guys like Heston Kjerstad this year. Adley is one of my favorites. I've loved him since college. Just a fantastic fundamental player.
Yeah.
And Gunnar Henderson could be a legitimate like fringe MVP candidate. He is... It's silly how talented that guy is. So they've got hitters all up and down the lineup. I mean, Santander, Mountcastle can really rake. They're very dangerous. And I think that they're just going to get better and gain confidence over the season. I can't trust the Yankees' health.
Yeah.
And their pitching. The Rays never get it done in the postseason because they don't have enough high-end talent. They have great depth, but they don't have, other than a Rosarena, they don't have those star players.
Mm-hmm.
And then Toronto, again, I've never seen them get it done. This young group of players, I haven't seen them. I think they'll probably make the playoffs this year, but I can't pick them to go to the World Series right now.
Yeah, I agree.
I need to see it to believe it, essentially. I like Baltimore and Atlanta, and I think I'll go with Atlanta to win the World Series this year. Like I say, the Dodgers are obviously going to be the favorite, and for good reason. But I think year one with all these new acquisitions, I'm not sure it's going to gel well enough to get them to the World Series this season. Now with this core, I'm sure they're going to win one.
Yeah,
but I don't think it's going to be this year.
Yeah, and I mean, you've got Kershaw who's aging. They brought him back, and I hate saying aging because I think he's like around my age. But Yeah, and then we've got the Shohei drama right now. Who knows where that's going to land?
Right, right.
Let's see, how old is Clayton Kershaw? Oh, he's younger than I am. Okay, that's fine. Don't feel sick to my stomach or anything. But yeah, I agree with that point. And they buy all this talent. They're kind of the Mets of the West, where they've got the money to buy the talent, but the team just never fully clicks.
Yeah, and I mean that you can see that they've got the big hole at shortstop right now. I mean, it's pretty apparent that Gavin Lux does not have the arm to play shortstop. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Mookie Betts playing shortstop is a long-term solution. I think that's just the best band-aid they've got. Spend all that money and you can't find a shortstop. It's unbelievable to me that they couldn't go out and get anyone that could play shortstop.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. Yeah, I think I picked it. I picked Atlanta. I know that. I don't remember who I picked. I think I might have picked the Rangers. Just because after seeing what they did last season,
they're very impressive, and they're young too. Their lineup is, you know, they lose very little from their lineup, and a lot of those guys are going to get even better.
Yeah, well, I mean, we saw a total rise from the Diamondbacks last season that I don't know that anybody would have expected at the beginning of last year.
Okay, there's a good question. Who's your Diamondbacks this year? Somebody who comes out of nowhere and makes the playoffs.
That's a good one. I don't know. Maybe, honestly, now that the Marlins are a little stacked, I feel like they could actually make a push this year. Yeah, I mean, they've got two of my favorite players there now. And I have watched a little bit of the spring training, and they look competent. They look good. So I think maybe they could make an unexpected push.
I think somebody unexpected is going to win the NL Central. I was going to go with Cincinnati, but they have so many injuries already that I think I have to pass on them. So
I think if they were going to do it, last year was going to be their year.
Yeah. This Cincinnati core, I think, will make the playoffs a couple times, certainly. But yeah, they're just so beat up already. It's going to be tough for them to not dig themselves into a hole. I'm going to go with the Cubs. I think the Cubs are going to put it together enough to get to the playoffs. And I'll even say the Cubs win a playoff series. That'll be my bold prediction.
That is bold. But I can see it. I unfortunately have to watch them quite a bit too.
Yeah.
So yeah, I could see that one happening. And they had a pretty decent off season, and they brought Cody Bellinger back, which is always good.
I like Chris Morel.
Yeah.
I think he's going to have a big breakout season. I could see 35 home runs.
And I think they're not quite reaching the end for Kyle Hendricks, and he's still phenomenal. Like, he's been on that team. I mean, he was there for the World Series. He's been there forever.
Well, and Steele was what, second in the Cy Young voting last year?
Yeah.
I mean, they've got a really good top of the line of their pitching staff.
Yeah, they do. They probably could make it, unfortunately.
Send one over to the White Sox, am I right?
We did get, and I loved Quintana, so I was still a little sad about that, but we did get Eloy and Dylan Cease from the Cubs. And every single time Eloy does anything, it's always like on Twitter, "Thanks, Cubs," every single time.
Yeah, because Quintana hasn't done a whole lot since he left Chicago, unfortunately.
And it's a bummer because I really liked him for the longest time, but
he was a hell of a pitcher for you guys.
Yeah, so is Chris Sale.
That's true.
I think it's time to admit that they lost that trade, because Chris Sale, still, despite being so injured, is still very good.
Yes.
And has a ring. And all we really have to show for it is Yoan Moncada when healthy.
Yeah, and Moncada is a solid player, but he's, what, a 2.5-3 WAR player? So. Yeah.
And then Kopech was the other one that came with it.
Right. So you've got, you've ended up with, it's obviously not like, the Cabrera trade or anything, but, the prospects that you ended up with it does mirror a little bit with like what we had with Maben and Miller, sending those guys off to Miami, and then Miller can't start, turns out to be a good reliever, and Maben is like above average, but just never becomes the star that people thought he could be.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, do you have any other thoughts on this 24 season before we wrap things up?
I'll just say, I think the goal for the Tigers should be to be over 500. And I do think they accomplished that goal, if not, you know, if only barely. I think my final record prediction for the Tigers will be 82-80.
Better than last year. Well, please take great care of Jason Benetti, because
we will.
We are all very sad over here. I have a feeling at opening day, I don't think they'll really do anything to recognize him, because the whole thing is a Jerry Reinsdorf issue. But I have a feeling everyone will acknowledge him in the audience, at least.
Yeah, he's going to get a warm reception, I'm sure. He's very well-liked.
Yeah, he's lovable. Like, my son looks up to him and now is going to go into broadcasting. Like, he starts high school in the fall, and that's an elective he can take, is principals of broadcasting, because he just loves Jason Benetti so much. So
it's awesome. I've done a lot of sports broadcasting stuff too, and it's a hell of a lot of fun.
Yeah, and he's a special breed, so take good care of him.
Cool.
So yeah, before we leave, please just let people know where we can find you if you wish.
Yeah, so I'm at Big Daddy Drix, very silly Twitter handle, but I am on there if you want to see some sports tweets, and then I do share my opinions on there, so I can understand if that's not your bag. I get that. I also do a fantasy football podcast called the Football Absurdity Podcast with Jeff Crisco and Mike Valverde. That is once a week right now during the off season. So check that out, patreon.com/fballabsurdity.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining. Best of luck this season. I know we faced the Tigers 9 million times.
True. We're going to get tired of each other by June.
Well, we'll see. I'm sure I'll be up there too for one of those, because like you said, Detroit's just a quick hop on the road. And I love Detroit. I think your ballpark is really fun.
Detroit's a fantastic city. I unfortunately have not visited Chicago yet, but I am very excited to do so. My girlfriend and I have been planning.
Well, that's good. Let me know if you need recommendations. All right. Well, again, thank you so much. Enjoy 2024. Hopefully your Tigers come out where you want them at least to be.
Yeah, we'll hope so. Thank you for having me on. Really appreciate it.
Goodbye.
See ya.